When I started counting my blessings, my whole world turned around. Those are not my words, but the reflection, a quote from profound and renowned theologian Willie Nelson. Willie got it right. He set the priorities in his life, and when he got priorities right, everything for him, he said, turned around. When I started counting my blessings, it all got in the right order. It helps all of us to prioritize in family, in work, in faith. When Rob's doing a project for Tip Electric, he has to prioritize what is most important. When we are preparing for finals as a student, like many of our young people now, you have to prioritize which course is going to be the most demanding. Which one's going to take most of my time? What's the hardest? What I need to make the best grade in? Priorities are important in life, and they are in faith. In our scripture today, as I touched on just a moment ago earlier, the one that Miss Pat Hopper shared, she read to us the words of Jesus where he reflected upon bearing fruit 5 different times in those small, short 8 verses of Scripture. So on the surface, it seems to us that the priority of this text, or perhaps our larger faith, is that we are called to bear fruit. But really, I think there's a deeper message in the Scripture today. In fact, I think the goal of this passage, the call of our Lord Jesus as He's speaking to His friends, His disciples. This is the time just before Jesus is rejected and denied and persecuted and journeys to the cross of Calvary. His last message. The greatest teachings, the foundational points of the faith. Here's what he wants to leave with them. You see, I think the words about bearing fruit is not the ultimate goal of his message. I think it's the fruit that comes from the goal. Let me say it this way. In our scripture today, we hear Jesus talking about bearing fruit and fruit that will last. Fruit that will endure no matter what we're going through, what we're enduring. You know, driving over this morning, I noticed on Highway 72 all of the crimson clover. Have y'all seen that before on the sides of the interstate? I remember when Mickey and I were young kids, we would make a road trip with Mom, maybe going to see Dad working somewhere real far away from home. And the crimson clover would be bloomed out. Do you call it blooming out if it's crimson clover? It would be in all its glory, I say that. We were just young guys, and I remember Mom seeing that crimson clover and bringing it to our attention. She said, "Boys, look. Look at all the strawberries on the side of the road." And of course, our response was, "Oh, yeah, stop. Let's get some." "No, we don't have time. Got to keep going." Y'all need to pray for her. But you know the crimson clover that you see on the interstates or on the right of way, it is beautiful, but its purpose, its number one priority is not to be beautiful. That's not the reason they place it there. Kenny can tell us why. The reason they place the crimson clover on the sides of the road or where they perform construction is to prevent erosion. It's to provide a root system. It's to stabilize the ground. It's to save money, ultimately, where they don't have to go back and repair a lot of stuff. It serves a greater purpose. But the outcome, the result of it doing its priority number one, is the fruit that it bears and the beauty that it shares. Isn't that great? And so it is with us. When we embrace our faith, when we put our faith into action, as we're going to hear sung about in a few minutes, there is a fruit beyond priority number one, I think it's the root of what Jesus is talking to us about today. When he says, bear fruit. Fruit's not the goal, friends, I'm convinced, of our faith. But fruit is the tool that God uses through us to reach our number one priority. As a young preacher, I wanted to be so good at preaching. And I was so bad at preaching. I would load Manya up. I've told some of y'all these stories. And I'd take her in the far reaches of Mississippi, up in Tennessee, anywhere I could find four or five people to preach to, I'd take her. And then after the sermon, I'd give her a test. I'd ask her, Tommy, I'd say, now what did I say? What'd you get out of that? And of course, she'd do the best she could, telling me what she heard. And I'd say, no, that wasn't it. Like it was her fault, like she'd messed up the sermon. But you know, when things started turning around, and I got more effective in preaching, when I stopped trying to be good at preaching, and I start trying to be good at glorifying the Father. See, friends, I think that's what Jesus is saying to us in our scripture today. The ultimate goal of our faith, of our life as people of faith, as our existence as those saved by His grace, priority number one, dear friend, is for us to glorify our Father in heaven. Jesus says it this way in our scripture today. The very last verse that Miss Pat shared with it, he said there that my Father is glorified by this when you bear much fruit. And he says here, I know you caught it. You prayers in the room caught it. When he said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it for you. Now that's a confusing scripture, isn't it? But really what helps with that passage, John said earlier in chapter 14, he says this, if what you're asking for is for the greatest glory of my Father, I will do it. Friends, that's the desire of our prayers. We heard about the prayer warriors that I spoke of in our young disciples' time. Have you ever had prayer warriors that just seem like their prayers are more effective than yours? Seems like they've got an inside route some way. Is that right? You really want them praying for you when something's going wrong? My mama was one of those, right? Ruby Crum was one of those, right? What is it that makes some people's prayers more effective? Friends, I think they have garnered the secret of this passage. Where those who pray fervently and effectively truly do surrender their prayer, not for their will, but for God's will and for the Father to be glorified. You see the humility in that way of praying? Mark Batterson, author and pastor, says this, so often our prayers are to fix our circumstances. But he said, when we start seeing that prayer is not about fixing our circumstances, but seeking the greatest way for us to glorify the Father. Friends, that's effective praying. That's when miracles occur in our lives and in our faith. That's the goal. The Westminster Catechism got it right, Judge. Written some 500 years ago, a foundational statement for all of us who are Reformed Christians, for all of us of the Protestant faith. The first question of that catechism is, what's the chief end of man? What's the greatest goal of our life of faith? And this is the answer, to glorify the Father and enjoy Him forever. Friends, when we get our priorities right, we transform from meager preachers but to those who speak the words of life. When we get our priorities right, we go from a simple songwriter like Willie Nelson till we start changing the world. When we get our priorities right, friends, God in heaven is glorified. Now, what's the rub? What's the benefit for you, right? We got to know, what do we get out of this glory in God? I want to know what's in it for me. What's the blessing? What's the fruit? Well, friends, we don't do it to get the fruit, but we get the fruit as a byproduct of walking in God's ways. Here's what I mean. Jesus followed that scripture today in John 15. After verse 8, he goes into verses 9 through 10. I encourage you to read those some, on down into 12. And he says this. He says, I've told you these things. I've told you this to abide in me, to follow in my ways, to bear fruit, and to glorify the Father. But here's the essence. He said, I've told you these things to do this so that you may know my joy and that your joy may be complete. You hear what I say, our Lord telling me? Jesus, the Son of God, is saying to me, Jody, hard-headed Jody, if you will glorify my Father, then you will know the fullness of joy you could have never attained on your own. Wow. Friends, that is the transformation of our faith and what only our God can do. Now, how do we do it? How do we glorify the Father? Jesus said in our scripture today, he said, abide in me. Now, that's not a word we use very often in our current culture, right? What does it mean to abide in Jesus? Well, you think about it like this. We've heard the expression, you know, I can abide with that. I can live with that. I can embrace that. I can trust in that. In other words, Jesus is saying to glorify me, to glorify the Father, then trust in me. Walk in my ways. Friends, that's how we bear fruit of the faith. You know, I'm grateful for the Lord's Prayer. Lamont and I talk about that often. I preach a sermon on it some. But the preamble, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, here's what that says to me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know what I hear happening there? Hallowed be thy name. That's a call to glorify the Father. Thy kingdom come. That's a call for me to follow Jesus. Abide in him. Thy will be done. That's a call for us to please the Holy Spirit. What if our prayer is that we glorify the Father? That we're equipped to walk in the way of the Son and we're empowered in bringing pleasingness to the Holy Spirit. We pray. That's how we abide in Christ. That's how we glorify the Father. We hit our knees and we surrender and we say, God, I can't do it. I need your strength. I can't write a song without you. I can't proclaim your goodness without your grace in the beginning. Friends, we are called to bear fruit. But maybe some of you are saying today, you know, Jody, I hear all this, but I tell you, I'm not real fruit worthy. In fact, I don't feel like a beautiful flower at all. Oh, Noah, he's been picking flowers this week. For one of his biology classes, he had to identify some 20 species of flower. Mama helped him do it. Y'all don't tell anybody at Blue Mountain College. Mama helped him do it. But you know what? He had a tough question for. He said, now, Mama, you need to determine, are these domesticated plants or are they native plants? Man, that's some fancy stuff. Manya said, can you help me with this, Jody? I said, I'm not even a domesticated preacher. I sure don't know nothing about domesticated plants. But a domesticated plant is one that's been kind of changed around. It's been worked around and it's been made better. It's grown. But a native plant is in its natural state. A native plant can also be called a wildflower. We know about those, right? Wildflowers just existing in their normal state. And you know, maybe as I'm challenging you, and I'm receiving the challenge myself today, to hear the call to bear fruit, to glorify the Father, perhaps you're saying, look, preacher, I'm not much of a flower. I'm not much of a plant. I'm not even a wildflower, much less domesticated. In fact, I feel more right now like a weed. I got it. Been there. Done that. I've been a weed more times in my life than I care to mention. But you know what I've discovered the more that Noah's taught me to study plants today? There's a small difference, just a subtle difference, between a wildflower, a native plant, and a weed. Really, about the only difference I can tell is the time and the place where they're located. See, a wildflower is beautiful until it's out of place. Until it's where we don't want it. Or it's when we don't need it. But friends, what I've discovered through the love of our Lord in my life, that He came to me as a weed and He uprooted me. He took my past and He transformed when I was in the wrong place, and He put me in the right place, and He replanted me. You see, that's what God can do in His garden that bears fruit. You know, I've seen that garden. I've seen the garden of what God can do through forgiveness. I've seen the garden that God can transform by taking weeds and replanting them where He wants them. I don't have to tell some of you about that garden because you've seen it too. What's the name of God's garden? It's titled Grace. May you enjoy its beauty forever. Amen. Friends, let's